Make a joyful noise to the Lord, a Mayflower. Worship the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Welcome to worship on Music Appreciation and Recognition Day, this sixth Sunday of Easter 2026, and happy Mother's Day. And we have some people here because of it. We have some people gone because of it. And that's just the way it works on Mother's Day. So to those of you online, we also welcome you on this Mother's Day. I am Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. And I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer, musicians, there are many, and liturgist Tom Cornell and Rachel Garris. Yes, music has been, is, and always will be important in our worship services here at Mayflower. But today, we pause to thank and recognize all those who participate in the music ministry of our church, and especially our staff members, Minister of Music Barb Fuller and accompanist Deanne McCormick. Today, our music will feature the Chancel Choir, a bell duet by Lorraine Finneson and Shannon Quinn, and trumpet accompaniment by Jamie Stevens. In addition, our Minister of Music, Barb Fuller, will bring her message of musical perspective and experience with a surprise element in store for us. So, while this is usually the Sunday when the choir begins their summer break, the choir's last performance will be next Sunday before they return this fall. Remember that during the summer months, music will continue with a variety of special music. So please check your bulletin for a change at the close of this service today when the congregation will be seated to hear the choir sing the choral benediction response. It will be a special number, so I will try to prompt you and you will be seated and the choir will sing their benedictory response. I think it would be appropriate at this time during the announcements before worship to turn and recognize our musicians with a round of applause. Justin and me were clapping for ourselves, so sorry. All right.
How about just giving you an applause?
Well, no, that's just how about that. Well, it might sound like I was fishing, but trust me, folks, I'm not a good fisherman. So, Roger Kennedy comes now to bring a message from the hardworking Mission and Outreach Committee of our church.
Okay, well, you know, if I'm standing here, I'm going to be asking for stuff. But if many of you got to read Lorraine's Friday notes this week, you know what I'm going to talk about. But you've probably heard about the horrendous forest fires in Nebraska. Many, many thousands of acres have been burned, and there's damage to homes, businesses, the infrastructure. It's going to take them a long time to recoup from this disaster. But again, once again, the NA office, giving through the one great hour of sharing, we'll be collecting monetary funds to help with relief in Nebraska for the things that they will need. This is going to go through the end of June, and then we will begin sending whatever we collect monetarily to one great hour of sharing. Also, again, we decided at our meeting last Friday that May is going to be diaper collection month once again this year. We are collecting all sizes of diapers, sanitary wipes, and I don't know how else to put it, and butt wipes for little kids. So anything that you can bring in that realm of collections, again, put between the big blue box and the piano in the Friendship Center, and we definitely will appreciate anything that you bring in. And that will go to the St. Luke's Lutheran Church at their baby collection point. Thank you.
All right, Roger, you made that explicitly clear this morning. For those of you who are new or unfamiliar with our worship protocol and mission statement, they are printed in the bulletin. And if you wonder why we do not pass offering plates during worship, we want our visitors to feel welcome without any sense of obligation to give as we consider your presence a gift to us and a gift to God. However, stewardship is always important for us as followers of Christ. And there are many ways we give, including the giving of financial resources. So if you have come prepared with a financial offering or are so inclined, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. As always, thank you for your continued caring and sharing. A big thank you to Roger Kennedy for the stained glass artwork that he did while he was out in Arizona. He actually busied himself with something useful. Now, Roger, that's just a joke, because Roger, as you know, is a hard worker and always reminds the congregation, a special reminder to keep our focus outward rather than inward. That's been historic with Roger. So we thank Roger for that, and if you haven't seen it, it's the stained glass in the transit or right above the door to our choir robe room out there in the narthex. And also to Dick Schaup and Tom Hacker, who mounted it this week. They also mounted the first installment of the artwork known as The Wedding at Cana that was formerly at the Plymouth Church. The first installment is right over the entrance of the sanctuary, so if you can remember it and want to check it out, it's just a little bit of a teaser and more to come. And also a big thanks to Mariana Foster and Gwen Tisdale for their amazing and faithful regular change of decorations on the tables in our Friendship Center. You can see after church when you join us for coffee hour. We do welcome you to the coffee hour following the service today. There will be no presentation. It's Mother's Day. However, during the coffee hour of the next two Sundays, I will give the final two installments of the history of Congregationalism in America. And with that, let us now worship God. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
It's great to see you in church today. The Psalms reminds us of our blessing. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Every church has its traditions. One great tradition here at Mayflower is Music Appreciation and Recognition Sunday, when we take the opportunity to thank our chancel choir, our handbell choir, and those who have participated in presenting music, those who have made special donations to the music program of our church, and our sound engineer, Kim Finneson, and especially our minister of music, Barb Fuller, and accompanist, Deanne McCormick, who work hard to produce and present music each week. I think it would be appropriate, especially after the bells, to show them how much we appreciate it with a round of applause. That was really amazing. Well, today's service does not follow all of our typical patterns. With maybe a surprise or two along the way, we want you to sit back and enjoy as we lift our voices in song, perk up our ears as we listen, focus our minds as we think, and tune our hearts in as we reflect. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God and our loving Lord, we pause today to thank you for the gift of music. In doing so, we ask you to help us tune our hearts to sing your grace, that in this morning our song shall rise to thee, that we join 1,000 tongues to sing your praise, and that our souls sing praise to our Savior God to thee. We thank you for the universal language of music, which requires no translation and no introduction. We are grateful for the great hymns of the faith, the hymns of our tradition, and the new music we learn along the way. Help us to express our appreciation to all those who work hard in preparation and rehearsal to present music each week in our services. We pray for Barb, our minister of music, that you would speak to us through her unique way of amplifying the importance and tradition of music in our church. Be with us as we continue in the special emphasis of the day, while not forgetting the importance of the scripture and the spoken word. We pray this in the name and spirit of Christ, in whose names we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Money can sometimes be a sensitive subject in church. When funds are tight, when a church is declining, or when a building project or major fundraising event is on the horizon, it can make some people uncomfortable, perhaps in some way all of us. And while there are many aspects to Christian stewardship, and they should be taught with Christ as our example, one of the principles of the congregational way is that of personal conscience, which means we don't always agree 100% on how money is allocated in the life and ministry of the church. And yet, with transparency, the financial leadership of our church works hard to present budgets, to pay bills, to take care of legal matters, and to make every effort toward efficiency and accountability. Here at Mayflower, we've had remarkable unity of purpose and mission, as we've heard from Roger today. With that, our ultimate responsibility is to God. And so we now offer to God our time, our talents, our treasures, indeed our very selves during this holy moment of worship. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and ever-singing Lord, today we lift our hearts in gratitude once again for the gift of music, for melody and harmony, rhythm and voice, choirs and bells, organs and trumpets, pianos, strings, for hymns ancient and new, and for spirituals born from suffering and songs rising from hope. Lord, you have always called your people to sing, and you call us today. The psalmist invites, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and entreats us that everything that breathes to praise the Lord. So today, with piano, organ, bells, trumpet, and voice, and through the year, we lift our praise to you with whispered lullabies and courageous anthems for justice, with songs that comfort the grieving and songs that stir us to action. And oh God, we thank you that music does more than entertain us. It awakens us. A hymn can strengthen weary spirits. A song can unite divided people. Music can help us imagine the world not as it is, but as you dream it to be, a world shaped by compassion instead of cruelty, generosity instead of greed, welcome instead of exclusion, and peace instead of violence. May the music we celebrate today inspire us to carry forward the mission of Jesus, to love boldly, to seek mercy relentlessly, and to stand alongside the poor and the forgotten, to welcome the stranger, to comfort the hurting, and to work for justice in our community, our nation, and throughout the world. We remember that on the night before the cross, Jesus sang hymns with his disciples before going out into the darkness. So teach us, O Christ, to keep singing even in difficult times, to sing hope when despair threatens, to sing courage when fear grows loud, to sing faith when the road ahead is uncertain. Today we pray for all whose songs have been silenced by sorrow or struggle. We remember those burdened by illness, grief, loneliness, anxiety, poverty, war, and injustice. May your healing presence surround them. May your Spirit sustain all who are exhausted in body or spirit, including those within our circles of love and care and close to our hearts, whose first names we mention to you now. As you've heard these names and know these people, O God, we ask that you would grant them healing, strength, peace, and encouragement, and the assurance that they are never alone. And gracious God, continue to bless the music ministry of this beloved community. Bless every choir member, every soloist, every instrumentalist, our director, accompanist, technician, and volunteers who offer their gifts in worship. May their music continue to lift hearts, deepen faith, welcome the stranger, and glorify your holy name. May this congregation always be a singing people, a people whose songs echo the love, mercy, and justice of Christ. And now with one voice, united across generations and traditions, we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. Pastor Mark once stood on Mars Hill in Athens, where Paul's words, recorded in today's scripture, were spoken. It was an amazing experience for him. In this passage, the Apostle Paul reminded the educated of that city that the God they thought was unknown could indeed be known. African Americans are particularly fond of verse 26 in their long historical struggle toward freedom. We will see where Barb goes with this. Hear now these words. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus, thank you, and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an Unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of you, of your own poets, have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Thanks be to God.
In July, the second Sunday of July, will be the completion of 9 years here at Mayflower, and the one staff constant that whole time has been Barb Fuller. She and I have worked together and shared our philosophies, our thoughts about worship, and collaborated on a very regular basis for all that time. So it's a pleasure for me. It also gives me a break. And I'll take the break when I can sit as you and listen to a presentation that I know will be unique and helpful. And I heartily recommend this pulpit to my staff member and my friend, Barb Fuller.
Wow. Good morning. I'm back again. You can see me every year at this time. I have three goals in mind this morning. Number one, I want to say a few words that will inspire all of you to appreciate our musicians. Although there's been so much of that so far, I'm a little hesitant to do it because this crowd, they get a little unruly when they think too highly of themselves. I should know. Number two, I would like to give you a little background on today's choral anthem. And number three, I would like us to all have a better understanding of today's scripture lesson. And with that, I have a bit of an ulterior motive. I will elaborate on that later. Let's start with goal number one. Recognizing and appreciating Mayflower's musicians. Once a year, we give a special nod to our choirs for the rehearsal time and the effort they dedicate to helping to enhance our worship experiences each week. They really are a lovely group of people, no matter what anybody says about them.
What you say about them?
I say that they are a lovely group of people who share a passion for music and are willing to devote lots of time so that they can share the fruits of their labors with all of you. Today might be a good day to hug a musician. Not if they don't want it, but if they do want it, hug a musician and tell them how much their efforts mean to you. Every acknowledgement of their musical gifts is well deserved. From my heart, folks. Thank you, musicians. Goal number two, today's choral anthem. If you've already read my article in this month's newsletter, this may be a bit repetitive for you. However, here it is. I bought this piece of music almost a year ago, knowing that I wanted us to sing it for this year's Music Appreciation Sunday. Often, we have ended our choral year with something bombastic, with those kinds of pieces being inspiring for the listeners as well as the singers. If that is what you were expecting today, just come back next week. Unlike other years, we are highlighting our musicians this week and then are finishing up our choral year next week with a bombastic anthem then. When I became familiar with the anthem, Sing Gently, I was really drawn to it for a number of reasons. I love the haunting music as well as the words of unity. Let us sing as one. And it reached me spiritually, thinking of the messages Jesus preached to love one another, to live in harmony, to accept one another. And the funniest thing, even though I planned to sing this song on this day a year ago, I was tickled to see how its message worked into today's scripture lesson. Our anthem was written by Eric Whitaker, who realized at the beginning of COVID that that period of time was going to be remembered as a period of tremendous suffering. He realized that the need to isolate globally would be devastating, so he set out to compose a piece that had the potential of bringing comfort to those who needed it. The words, "Sing gently always, sing gently as one," were well chosen. After he had composed the piece, and listen to this, 17,572 singers of Virtual Choir 6 performed it online, never having rehearsed together in person. Remarkable. If you are interested in viewing the performance, you can find it on YouTube. That takes us to goal number 3, understanding our scripture lesson. Here is when I tell you about the audience participation I have planned. Ha ha. And you will need to be, and I'm including you guys too, and you will need to be familiar with the scripture in order to proceed further. This is where you will help me find it. In our lesson, Paul is speaking to the Athenians. He acknowledges that they appear to be very religious because of the many objects they display throughout the city, including an altar with the inscription "to an unknown God." He then takes the opportunity to speak of God, our God with a capital G, who made the world and everything in it. He says that from one ancestor, this is important, from one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the earth. He speaks of searching for God, although God is never far from us. He continues with, "In him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring." It is here that you need to know that Pastor Mark and I, as he has said, believe strongly in trying to coordinate the relevancy of the hymns to the ideas he is trying to get across to us each week through his sermons. We feel that the message should flow through the worship service and become more meaningful if the theme and the music work hand in hand. So, let's pretend for a few minutes that you are the director of music here at Mayflower, and it is your job to select the service music, that is the hymns, as well as the benediction response, for our scripture lesson, which is Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. First, as the director, you know this is the passage for today because Pastor Mark has sent you an email with it, as well as a paragraph describing his interpretation of it and a few ideas on how he will be approaching it. Good, we have that. Now is when you look up the passage in your Bible and read it, possibly several times, speaking from experience. You don't have to do that right now because we have already heard it and have gone over it a second time. You may want to keep your bulletin close at hand, though, that has your scripture lesson, as I do my Bible, so that you can refer to it if need be. As I'm reading the passage, I try to be open to words or phrases that will remind me of a hymn. Did any of you have that happen to you by any chance? Of course, you did not know we were doing this, but it doesn't always happen that way to me either, but it makes it easier for me if it does. In our lesson today, we have Paul speaking in front of the Athenian council, telling them that God does not live in shrines made by humans, as he had seen in their city, and that God gives life to all mortals and all things. And I quote, "From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live." Hey, this is great stuff, folks. Not only for you as the person who has to choose the hymns, but from a historical point of view. Is it any wonder that through U.S. history, African American leaders have turned to these words to show God's love for all people, helping them advocate for human rights, for equality, for unity? Let me divert directions for just a moment. Through information Pastor Mark sent me regarding this scripture, I learned that African-American Benjamin Banneker, do you know who he is? He is one of the three people who planned Washington, D.C., used this scripture passage to educate other people, emphasizing that black people had as high an intellect and as strong a character as white people did. And Frederick Douglass used this passage while trying to appeal to white Christians in his abolitionist papers and speeches. These men felt the need to challenge white Christians who claimed that they were superior to people of color. This was very useful information to me when I selected hymns for this Sunday. Now that you have a little background, you would be ready to open up your hymnal to see what you could find. When I am doing my planning, I almost always turn first to the scriptural index found on page 743. Would you please get a hymnal? You can share with someone else if you like and do this together, and turn to that page. I'm going to do that as well, page 743. And I hope I have the right number. It's way at the back. There it is. Do you see it? It's way back there, 743, the scriptural index. As you see, this index begins with Genesis and goes through Revelations, listing a few chapters and verses in each book of the Bible and noting the pages of hymns that would go along with them. Do most of you have it? Back there, choir.
It can be a little confusing. There's 742.
And then
there's no number, but it's near the back.
Keep going beyond
you'll
that.
See 745, just back up a page or two from there.
Mm-hmm.
Way in the back.
Mm-hmm. I have spent a lot of time reading these suggestions, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. If I do find one, I look up the hymn to see when the last time was we sang it, because I always record that date above the hymn title. I can show you my hymnal, and you'd be able to see when the last time was we sang any of the hymns we've sung in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Most of the time, I am not very successful in the scriptural index, so I go on to plan B. But just for the fun of it, let's take a look to see if our passage is listed. Can you find the page that has the book of Acts on it and look for chapter 17, verses 22 through 31? So it's in the New Testament, so it'll be a little further back. There it is. I'm finding it. Do you see where it is? Are there any hymns listed for that? Nope. So now we really have to go to plan B. So now turn to page 744, which begins the topical index. That's just a few pages later. When I did this in preparation for today, I was struck by the words where Paul said, "From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring." The word that popped into my head from reading this was unity. There we go again. Unity jumped out at me when I chose the anthem for today. I might be onto something. I have spent a great deal of time in this topical index, so I know a lot of the topics that are listed, and knowing what I know now about our topic, I might go to the unity section, right to begin with. I might also go to the justice section, or the nation section, or the peace section, or the people of God section. Let's take the time now to do some of that. Please find the unity section within the topical index. These topics are in alphabetical order. So you can go back. There it is. You have it? Are there any of those hymns that you recognize? Just take a moment to look down that section. There are quite a few there, aren't there? If so, as the person in charge of choosing the service music for today, this would be the time to look that hymn up and read through the words. You would ask yourself if the words fit in with Paul's message of equality for all people and or unity for all people. Then you would ask yourself, have we sung this hymn before? And when was the last time we sang it? If the words of the hymn go well with the message, but we haven't sung it before, and if you knew how, you would want to play the hymn on the piano or listen to it on YouTube to hear how singable it is, and then decide whether to venture out into new territory. As I look at this list under unity, I'm thinking that God binds us with a mighty cord on page 294 sounds promising. I can see by my notations on the page that the last time we sang that was May 11th, 2025. That's a pretty interesting coincidence, since it was almost a year ago today. So we haven't sung it recently, what I consider recently, and that may be a possibility. Now let's go to the nation section. Go back to the ends. There it is. As I read over the titles there, my attention was caught by two hymns especially. Number 501, In Christ There Is No East or West, and number 307, We Are Called. The last time we sang In Christ There Is No East or West was July 16th, 2023. As I read these words, I'm thinking this is definitely a possibility, but I still want to check the other hymn. As I look up number 307, We Are Called, I see that we sang that on February 8th, 2026, which is fairly recently. So I would tend to choose In Christ There Is No East or West. Now is when I would look in the peace section as well as the people of God section. In the case of our theme from the lectionary this week, there are a number of hymns that would be appropriate. I can breathe a sigh of relief because there are a few themes when scripture passages that Pastor Mark sends me, I find almost impossible to connect up with the hymns in our hymnal. And I think he even kind of delights in that. If I spend more than an hour planning the hymns and benediction response for a Sunday, it is obviously he has given me a tough one. As the director of music for this week's service, you also may think that because it is Music Appreciation Sunday, you ought to find a hymn that would reflect that. Your first inclination might be to look under the topic of music. Can you find that? Guess what?
No.
It's not there. There is a heading for world music. So you could start there. If you have been selecting hymns as long as I have, you are also familiar with hymns that reference music, which is what I did when choosing our hymn today, when in our music God is glorified. And what about today being celebrated as Mother's Day? There's a small section here on hymns that reference mothers. This turns out to be a day of many choices, and as the director of music, lucky you. And as a little sidelight, the hymn tune of the prelude that Shannon and Lorraine played, Kingsfold, is the tune that has been used for a number of hymns, including God Binds Us with a Mighty Cord, yet another appropriate piece for our theme of unity. Lucky me, because I'm the one that really had to choose them. You can put your hymnals away now. I'm sure you'll be happy to know that there is no final exam. In closing, I want to convey to you that I truly love my job. I truly love the musicians I work with. I love their commitment and their talent. And I am not lost to the fact that they make sacrifices to be here with us regularly. I love working with Deanne, wherever she is. She's always traveling. She's over here, who is so devoted to her job as accompanist. I love Pastor Mark, who regularly gives me kudos for what I'm doing and helps me find it when I can't do it by myself. I love the process of choosing the service music each week. It is challenging and is like putting a puzzle together that, when complete, is very gratifying. Occasionally, Pastor Mark will proclaim that a particular hymn I have selected is absolutely perfect for the message he is giving. And I just have to say to him, sometimes God visits me in my office while I'm choosing hymns. And that is when I realize that more often than not, in the end, God helps me find it. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to add my 2 cents worth about this hymnal that we have as Congregationalists. Some of you in Mayflower and those of you that were in Plymouth years ago or some other congregational church will know that we sang out of a hymnal that I think was published first in 1931. This came out in 2007, and this hymnal, and I think the person is here today that donated the largest, what was just a significant amount of money so that we could purchase these hymnals. They are out of print now. But I have compared these with some of the hymns that are put out by much larger denominations than we, and I have found this to be incredible. And this, of course, represented a change for our minister, Music Barb, as it was a whole new nugget full of all kinds of hymns, and it included a lot of the historical hymns from our earlier hymnal. But I am proud of this hymnal. I appreciate the person here today who gave the money so that we could purchase these. And we inherited quite a few of them from Plymouth. And we've had a church or two, another congregational church or two, that have asked if we had any more, and wasn't too long ago that we were able to give 15 of the hymnals we have in boxes to another church that really wanted these. So, Barb, thanks for helping us have a little broader understanding of what's in this hymnal and how proud we are of it. So thank you, Barb, and now we'll sing the song that Barb chose. May the music of our voices and our lips translate to a harmony embedded deep in our hearts of love. May it be so as we go, but don't go yet. You may be seated as you listen to the choir. Wow. Amen. Amen. Did you see my stole this morning? Do you know who did this? I think most of us know. Gwen, maybe I should wear this a little more often. She thought maybe it'd be a good idea because we do love music around here, but I'm proud to wear all the different stoles, most of which were made beautifully so by Gwen. So thank you, Gwen. And thank you, congregation, for participating in the Day of Music. Music is so important, and it's why some people come to church. They want to hear the music, and in so doing, they might just happen to listen to a sermon. It's okay. It's okay. So, we are going to gather, as we usually do, just to kind of hang out together, break a little bread, and say Happy Mother's Day. We have some, did you hear those precious little voices, the young voices that we don't hear too often around here? So we welcome those. Thank you, folks. And I'm sure there's a Mother's Day element here. I see three generations? There you go. Beautiful. Thanks for being here. Four generations. Okay, there you go. All right, the choir's still standing. Is there something else coming, or am I?